All right. Let's go ahead and get our Bible. I want to read a verse to you and preach just for a few minutes. The babies are fine. I believe they'll be all right. All right. And I'm not going to preach for a whole long time. I really just want you to, want everybody to listen the best you can. And want to just preach a message that, man, the Lord just laid on my heart to preach tonight. And we'll have another song at the close, and we'll have an offering and that stuff. But I want to welcome everybody here. I'm glad to see each one of you. And I hope every person tonight, whether you're a young lady, young man, older person, middle age, whatever, I hope you'll listen, because I've been in church all my life. And I've been in church when I was a little boy. I remember one revival that I went to, and a week-long revival. And during that revival, and some of you people might think I'm bad or something when I tell you this, but I colored a whole Rambo coloring book in one whole revival. And but I remember everything the preacher preached that night, and I enjoyed it. And his name was Leon Strickland. He preached, and man, I went through that coloring book and colored all them pages. But I heard every word he said, and I enjoyed it. And you can learn a lot. You can learn a lot from preaching. You really can if you listen, unless the preacher's one of them guys that's up there and half dead. I'm not going to make you any promises, but I think if you'll listen tonight, you might find that what we say is a little bit exciting, and it could even be interesting if you'll just listen. So I hope you'll do that. I want to start out and say this, that I'm a little bit one-sided in this, and I mean it with all of my heart. I really, honestly do love America. I love this country. And, I love America. And sometimes I drive through the countryside, and I drive through the up and down the hills, and I look around, and I thank God that I was born in America. I'm glad I was born in the country, in the mountain area, and I wouldn't have it any other way, and I'm glad for the freedom that we have as Americans. I'm thankful for those men and ladies now and folks who serve in our country, and back all the way back, we had the funeral the other day for Brother Nelson, who's a World War II veteran, and I'm thankful for that generation in America where the young men went off to fight and the young ladies drew together, and they helped hold together the home front, and the men went off there in that World War II and fought, and many of them died. And I believe it was a miracle of God that America stood, withstood the fascism of Italy and the Nazis of Germany and all the other things there. And been good if we'd gone ahead and taken care of the Marxism of Russia at that time. And as Patton and some others wanted to go ahead and take care of Russia and the enemies of freedom. And I love America, and I want to talk to you tonight. I'm not one of those preachers that's going to tear down and try to destroy America. I have no doubt in my mind that the greatest place in all the world to live this side of heaven is America. I believe that. And I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about one thing. And you can take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Turn to Acts chapter 1. And verse 6. And while you're turning to that, I want to ask you to write down a date, June the 7th. June the 7th, and you can write this down after you find this. Just remember this. June the 7th is a Tuesday night. And at 7 o'clock, we'll have church here. Brother Jeff Fugit will be here and a group of people from his Bible college, and they'll be singing. And Brother Fugit pastors in Lexington, Kentucky. And I told you a little while ago, he's from Hazard, Kentucky. And it's where he was raised and grew up and pastored for a while, and then God moved him to Lexington. And Brother Fugit is one of the finest old-time preachers you'll ever hear. And I really, really hope that our folks will come out, especially we want young people to come, and especially we want old people to come. We want you to come and be here that night, June the 7th, and hear the singing and hear the preaching, and just support the church. June the 7th, a Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, and when you're all invited to come out. Look in Acts chapter 1 just for a minute, if you would. And Acts chapter number 1. The Bible says there in Verse number 4, if you want to stand up just for a minute and stretch your legs and read with me, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him," Jesus, "they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Dear Jesus, again we pray tonight, just help us to listen. I pray for every young man, every young lady, every adult here, and God, that you'd help us to listen. Because I believe tonight, Lord, what's said could really make a difference in the future of this country. And I preach it for the sake of my country that I love and for the freedom that we hold dear. As a preacher, Lord, I want to do my part to help preserve the freedom of this country. I'm thankful for those who give their all and who have given their lives, Lord, for this country. And I believe every preacher ought to give themselves to the preservation of this country and the freedom that we hold dear to us. God, help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is getting ready to ascend, go back to heaven, and you can have a seat. The last words that he speaks to his people here, the last words that he says to them are that he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. He says, but ye shall receive power. And then he tells them that you'll be my witnesses unto me. He said, in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The very last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples was that he rebuked them in a way for asking him, Lord, are you going to set up your kingdom now? Is now the time? Lord, we want to know when. And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. There's another verse I'll read to you in 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light. So he says there, he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And tonight, though, I want to read something to you. This is May 21st, 2011, and other judgment days that have come and gone. And this ABC News writer says, no one knows the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. That's not the King James Bible quotation, but that's what the reporter put at the front of their writing. The Bible couldn't be clearer. Right there in the book of Matthew, he says, chapter 24, verse 36. But doomsdayers have sworn since at least Roman times that they're better sourced than the angels themselves, boldly trotting out predictions down to the day for the final judgment when Christians believe Jesus will descend to earth and set off a chain of events resulting in the end of the world and a new heaven. And then it says May 21st, 2011 is the latest attempt to get a jump on Judgment Day, courtesy of Oakland, California-based Family Radio, a nonprofit group. And they say that the second coming is coming on that day. And then it says that another group said in 1994 that they were coming, and then another group, and I'm not going to read all those to you, but it's a real popular thing today for preachers to say that they know when Jesus is coming. There's a lot that you can turn on the radio, and I've mentioned this to you here lately. You turn the radio on, and they all say, "Well, it's got to be soon. It's got to be real soon. Jesus is coming real soon." I've got here a book of sermons by Brother Jack Howes, and anybody that knows me knows that I love and respect Brother Howes, and these sermons are from 1973. And I'm not going to read any of those to you, but I went through and I looked for him some of his sermons that he preached in 1973, and he was preaching to his people, and he said, "People, you got to understand that it's very soon, that Jesus is coming soon. It can't be long." And he wasn't trying to set a date. He never set a date. He just, according to the things that were going on in 1973, as a preacher of the gospel, he was certain that Jesus was coming then. But guess what? Some of you may have missed it, but he didn't come in 1973. He didn't come in 1976, because I was born then, amen? And he didn't come in 1984. He didn't come in 88 or 89. He didn't come in anywhere in the 90s. And here we are in 2010. I remember when, was it Y2K came? And listen, is that what it was? I remember when the end of the world was coming. I was preaching at a church camp down in Culloden, and we were all down there, and they had their generators ready, and they had water reserved and all kinds of food rationed up. And boy, they were all ready for the end of the world. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know. I have no idea when Jesus is coming back. I believe we'll leave this world. I believe we'll go to heaven. We'll spend eternity with Him. One of two ways that'll happen. Either we'll die and go to be with Him, or else that trumpet will sound and the dead will rise first, and they that are alive and remain shall go to meet Him in the air. But I know that Jesus is coming. And I know that someday we'll leave. But I don't know when. And I don't know what's going to happen before He does come. But I do know one thing. I know this, that we as Christians ought to be mindful of the last words that Jesus ever spoke. The very last words that He ever said were that we were to occupy, that we were to be busy, that we were to be witnesses for Him until He comes. We were to be mindful of the fact that Jesus was coming again. Jacob, you all right, buddy? You need to have a seat, all right? I want you to sit down and quit wandering around back there. All right, the babies are okay, but Jacob is busy wandering around. Listen, we need to realize this thing, and that He is coming. I want to read something to you. I want to read a poem to you here called "I Love America." And it says this: "I love Thanksgiving when we pray, and July 4th and Labor Day, with picnics, ants and hungry flies, and barbecue and hot French fries, with Cokes and chips and apple pies beneath some hazy, lazy skies. I love Miami's royal palm that oozes forth a healing balm beside the ocean's quiet calm, and Betsy Ross and Orville Wright and dear Ben Franklin's flying kite, and Thomas Jefferson's mighty quill, and Alamo and Bunker Hill, and Paul Revere's midnight ride, and Wilbur Wright's successful glide. I love United's friendly skies and baseball when the umpire cries, 'Play ball,' as thousands quietly rise to turn their moistened, sober eyes toward waving flag that proudly flies. And Casey Stengel's Stengelese and Dairy Queen and Tasty Freeze and cotton candy at the zoo and corny dogs and Big Macs too and Burger Kings and shopping malls and hockey pucks and basketballs and Mississippi's cotton fields and Holland, Michigan's spinning wheels and monotonous Midwestern plains, Florida's sun, Seattle's rains, Atlanta's lovely dogwood trails, and Santa Fe's long clicking rails. I love the Rocky Mountain peaks beneath the sky which mutely speaks, and Disney World and Disneyland, and Georgia's fertile blood-red sand, the Mississippi and Rio Grande, Wisconsin's cheese and dairyland. I love McDonald's chocolate shakes and Minnesota's thousand lakes, the Royal Gorge's mighty yawn, a sleepy Alabama dawn, the harvest moon that shineth on. I love to gaze at Yellowstone while licking on an ice cream cone and Howard Johnson's Motor Lodge and Ford and Chevrolet and Dodge. I love the stately Empire State and San Francisco's Golden Gate. I love St. Louis's friendly arch, the Statue of Liberty's burning torch, the Washington Monument's prickly goad and Colorado's Trail Ridge Road. I love my country, 'tis of thee, O blessed land of liberty. Long may our glorious land be bright with freedom's wondrous holy light. Protect us by thy matchless might. I love to stand with hand or heart and think of those who did their part, who left a mom, a lone gold star whose body rests beneath fields afar. I love New England's rolling farms, its quaint decor and blushing charms. I love the azaleas fresh in blooms, East Texas' rosy roses' sparkling plumes. I love it when my church choir sings and know the peace that worship brings. And then says there beats within my breast a dream that the small, faint, and flickering gleam will soon become a mighty flame to spread to all His matchless name. That those dear four who call me dad will know the country I've had, where freedom's flag flies proud and high, and those dear ones may loudly cry, 'I'm free, My dad helped make it so. That faint, small gleam is now aglow. That Christian land that he once knew is now the kind that we know too. God's judging hand has now been stayed. And so I am, so I and mine are not afraid. For churches like ours abound in every city, village, and town. We're free to witness, visit, and teach the same dear truths we heard Dad preach. And now we vow to God above to pass it on to those we love. And that's just a poem written by a preacher many years ago. And in that poem, that preacher expressed his life and how that he gave his life to see revival in America and to see churches flourish in America. And listen, I'm not here just to be patriotic. I'm not here just to wave the flag, though I do believe we ought to still be proud of the flag. I still believe we ought to be proud of the red, white, and blue. And I'm altogether opposed to anybody down America. I'm thankful for this land. I'm thankful for the freedom that God has given us. But tonight, you say, preacher, what should our attitude be? I mean, should we just give up? And I mean, should we just throw in the towel and just say, well, it's just too late for America. It's just too late. And we know that Jesus he's coming this year, and we know it could be next month. And so we'll just sit and wait idly by and just let it all go on into the trash heap of eternity and forget about America and forget about freedom, because we know that he's coming to get us, and we're all going to leave this place. I'm going to tell you this. You don't know that. And you don't know that there won't be an America where your children and your grandchildren are going to have to figure out how to get by. You don't know. And I don't know how long my children have to live on this earth down here. But I do know this. I know that I'd love to see them have the opportunity to live in a land like I've lived in. I would love to see them. Listen, hey, I'm kind of selfish in that. I guess maybe I have a few more years to live. Hey, I'd like to continue to live the next 35 years in a land like this where I could enjoy freedom that I've enjoyed the first 35 years. Listen, hey, you can take England, you can take Italy, you can take all those other countries. Listen, you can have whatever you want to have, but I'm glad for America. I'm glad for this country. And brother, listen, I don't think we ought to give up. I don't think we ought to throw in the towel just yet. I mean, I don't think we ought to just sit down, Brother Mullins, and say, well, I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to wait till Jesus comes, and I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope it's today or maybe it'll be tomorrow. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you. See, but preacher, don't you know how bad the times are? Hey, brother, listen, they've been saying the times are bad for a long time, and the times are bad, and there is a lot of wickedness. And the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's a whole lot of bad stuff going on, but I know this. I know the Bible is still the Word of God, and the hope for America is good, godly, Bible-believing Christians who are not afraid to stand up for Jesus and not afraid to stand for the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you tonight, listen, you can give up if you want to. You can throw in the towel if you want to. You can sit on the sideline if you want to. You can just say, well, I'm just going to wait it out. But brother, God won't let me do that. And I'm not one of those preachers that's going to stand up here and tell you that he's coming back next week or that he's coming back this summer. I can't tell you if he's coming back next week. I can't tell you if he's coming back this summer. I can't guarantee you what the future holds. But I know this, if we as Christians don't realize our responsibility, we're in a whole heap of trouble. Brother, listen, I'm thankful for America's military. I'm glad for the wisdom and ingenuity and the willingness of our military. I thank God for our military. I'm glad for our capitalism. Brother, listen, I rejoice in it. You can run down. It's popular today to run down capitalism. It's popular today, especially in the schools and the universities, to boast about how much better socialism would be. Hey, it's even popular in our government today for people to espouse the ideology of socialism and try to push it down. Hey, but my Bible still says that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And we need to just get back to good old-fashioned capitalism again and just believe in what built America. Hard work and people that weren't afraid to lift up their hands and get busy. Brother, listen, thank God for that. And tonight, what we need to do rather than give up is we need to find out what the Bible says. We need to see what God's Word says. And listen, friend, the Bible says here, Jesus told his disciples before he went back, he said, I want you to tarry in prayer. He said, I want you to pray. Listen to me tonight. This is not a fancy message. It's just real simple nuts and bolts message. If you're saved tonight, I'm asking you to do one thing for America. I'm asking you to pray for America. Say, but preacher, I'll do that when I get old. No, I'm asking you now. If you're a young person, I'm asking you to make it a point to pray for America. Hey, pray for our freedom. Pray for America just to keep on going. You say, preacher, I'm old and don't have long to live. Well, I'm asking you to pray for America. I'm asking you to pray for the future of America. Brother, listen, you look around this church. There's young people everywhere. I mean, this morning, there were young people everywhere. I mean, we got teenagers and we got young boys and girls. And they come from all types of homes and all types of situations. But friend, listen, I'm glad for that. And I want them to have the future. I want them to have a country to grow up in. I want them to have a land like this, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Listen, they won't have it if we just sit idly by and just say, well, we'll just go ahead and give it to the homosexuals. We'll give it to the sodomites. It's all, there's no hope, friend. There is hope. Amen. There is hope. And there's hope in Jesus Christ. And there's hope in Christians that are not afraid to pray. Brother, listen, we need to get back to the old-fashioned prayer meetings. I mean, we need to get back to the old-time type of prayer where mamas pray and daddies pray and the children pray. Hey, let's pray for America. Don't badmouth America to me. Brother, listen, my dad was out soul winning with a fellow one time, and he walked up on the door and had a flag flying. The guy had something negative to say about America, called that flag a rag. And Dad said, buddy, if you don't like it, you can leave. Amen. And I'm with him. If you don't like it, you can leave. I'd still rather be dead than red. Amen. Listen, I'm glad for America. But what we need to do tonight is pray for America. Boy, we got a lot of faults. There's a lot of things going on in America that I don't like. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air. And there's some evil, wicked forces in America. There's some wicked people in America who would like to destroy this country. But I still believe in the power of a Christian that pray and talk to God. I believe God can change it. Yes. Brother, listen, you can talk it down. You can throw up your hands. You can refuse. You can quit. But I'm saying tonight, there's enough people in this church that if you'd pray, we could make a difference. You say, preacher, you really believe that? I really believe it with all of my heart. Listen, I believe God told me to preach it tonight. I believe that, listen, hey, those little children, man, that's why I want to leave them up here. I look at them. I don't want them to grow up in communism. I don't want them to grow up in a country with a bunch of fruitcakes and flakes running around trying to pervert them and ruin them. Brother, listen, I want them to grow up in a country where the flag flies, where they can get in their car and drive from east to west to north to south. They don't have to go to some checkpoint somewhere before they can cross state lines. That's the way it is in Europe. Let them have it in Europe. But friend, this is America. And the only hope for America is Christianity. The only hope for this country is Bible-believing Christians who will pray. You say, but preacher, I'm not a very good Christian. You start praying and let God figure out how good a Christian you are or not. I found this out about work, you know. You can take a shovel and the whole shovel can be bent up and you can still dig with a bent up shovel if you push hard enough. Amen? But listen, hey, you won't know if you need a new shovel until you start digging with it. And you get to digging with an old torn up shovel and after a while you'll find out you need a new one. And if you'll get to praying with however condition you are, hey, God will let you know if there's anything needs change. But I'm going to tell you, you just get to praying. I mean, it's high time for God's people to quit playing so much and start praying. Quit complaining and start praying. We sing that song, a little silver and a little gold, like that'd be something bad. Man, I'd like to have a little silver and a little gold stashed away somewhere right now, just a cottage below. Listen, hey, understand tonight, we need to pray. I don't have any fancy illustrations tonight. I just know what the Bible says. The Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest. I mean, we need folks to pray. Listen, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. We need folks who will pray without ceasing. What's that mean? That doesn't just mean go sit in a closet for 15 minutes a day. It means to always be praying. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for the church and pray for the children. Hey, pray for each other. Let's get back to praying again. Let's just kind of tone down the complaining some and get to praying. Let's kind of tone down just all the complaining and all the griping and all the belly aching. Friend, listen, hey, I'm glad to be in America, but America needs Christians who will pray and quit complaining. Brother, listen, last time I checked, God wasn't for belly achers. He wasn't happy with all that stuff. God was looking for people who would say, brother, we're in a mess and it's not right. There's a whole lot of wickedness, but we're going to pray and just see if what maybe God might be gracious and what maybe God might be merciful and change this old ship before we're doomed into the sea of eternity. Friend, listen, I don't think America has to die at 235 years old. I still think we got a future if we'll pray. I believe we can pray and change things. Listen, I believe we witness with power and boldness, knowing that we're the winners. Man, one of my favorite stories, I don't know if it was in the Pacific front or the Pacific or the Atlantic. I think the fellow was in a Japanese prison. He's a World War II soldier, and he had been taken captive in this prison, and they had been brutally abused and treated terribly there in the POW camp. And one day the word came to him that the Japanese had surrendered. And that morning his captors came in, no doubt, probably to kill him or whatever. But they came in that morning, and here's this emaciated, worn out man that they'd been beaten, abused, and deprived of any food, just worn out, ready to give up. But the news somehow got into the prison camp that the American forces had won, and that the victory was ours, and that the cause for which he had given his life was a prosperous cause, a victorious cause. And they say that that morning when they came in to do whatever they intended to do, that morning when they came in, he was standing by his bed with his back and shoulders erect, and he was calling for those men to reverence him and to give attention to him. He wanted them to know that he knew that he was on the winning side. Listen, hey, as Christians, we're on the winning side tonight. I mean, listen, hey, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. We're not losers. One of the worst things that will ever slip into the mind of our little children is for us to have them to think we're losers. Say, preacher, you seem arrogant about this thing or proud about it. No, I believe we ought to believe we're winners. That's what I'm saying. I believe as Americans, as Christians, listen, far more than being Americans, we're a Christian nation. I still believe we're a Christian nation. Hey, we were founded on Christian principles. Hey, I wish we still had the Bible in the schoolhouses. We don't, but we still got it in our homes. Amen. And we can stand up in our homes and say, hey, this is the Word of God. This is what we live by. Not what man says, but what God says. Hey, there's more churches per capita in America than any other country in the world. There's more godly Christian education in Sunday schools in America than any other country. And we in our nation need to realize that because we're Christian, we're winners. Amen. Brother, listen, if you serve another God, I'm sorry, you need to serve the one that's alive. Amen. Hey, listen, they took Jesus and put him on the cross, and they put that crown of thorns on him, and he died on that cross, and they buried him in that tomb. But brother, he arose. He came out of that grave. Hey, Buddha didn't do that. Muhammad and all the rest of them, they all died and they stayed dead, but Jesus got up. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. You say, preacher, how do you know? He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own. And listen, hey, I'm a victor tonight. I'm on the winning side. Why? Because my Savior, Jesus Christ, purchased the victory for me. And brother, you're a victor tonight. You're on the winning side. Why? Not because you're American. No, because you're a Christian. Because your Savior, Jesus Christ, has promised you the victory. If that be true tonight, then what we need to do is be bold witnesses for Him. I mean, listen, let's not be ashamed. The other day, we were driving down one of the little roads there in Nitro by our house, and Autumn looked at me, my little girl there. Autumn said, Daddy, we need to do some soul winning on this street. We need to pass some tracks out on this street. And I tell you what, Autumn was right. And listen, every Christian here, we need not be afraid to pick up some of these gospel tracks. And when you see somebody, just hand one to them. Amen. Jacob back there, where are you? Jacob, are you still awake? We were up at McDonald's taking him home there one day, and we're going through the McDonald's drive-thru, and he said, I bet you're afraid to give that guy one of them gospel tracks. I said, I bet I'm not. And we were going through the line, and the guy answered, took our order, and I got up there, and I said, man, I said, listen, I said, I want to give you this. I said, can you believe this guy right here? He said, I was afraid to give this to you. He said, but I said, I think really he wanted me to give it to you and let you know that Jesus loves you and he died for you and you can go to heaven someday. Listen, don't be afraid to tell people about Jesus. I mean, listen, don't be afraid to walk up to somebody and say, hey, my name is Travis.
Travis Bradley, and I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven, and I want you to read that. I want you to know God loves you. He died for you. Hey, you can have a home in heaven someday.
See, but preacher, they may not like it. I mean, they might be, you know, like this. They may not like it. Well, if they're like this, they need to hear it. Amen. Hey, listen. Hey, they need somebody not to be ashamed to say, listen, I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you believe. I want you to know Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And someday He's coming. And someday you're going to have to face Him. And the only way you're going to be happy in that day is if now in this life you accept Him as your Savior.
That's right.
I mean, we need to get some boldness about us once again. Don't be afraid. I drove just the other day through some Taze Valley area. Man, some of those big homes up there, I didn't know any better. The church I went to then, they'd take a soul winning. And man, they'd dump us off there in them places. I didn't know you were supposed to go soul winning in places where you know, just everything was falling apart. We go knock on those $100,000, $200,000 homes and as teenagers knock on those doors. And brother, listen, I can't tell you that I always liked it. But I'm going to tell you this. I learned one thing. I learned that when you knock on a door, when you tell somebody about Jesus, you've got every reason in the world to not have a disrespect, but to have boldness and say to them, hey, I just wanted you to know that Jesus loves you.
Amen.
And I'm not ashamed to let you know. I'm going to tell you this. The hope for this country is Christians that will open their mouths and tell people about Jesus. I have a friend that pastors a church in Huntington. When Brother Dennis was in high school, Hurricane High School, he would go every day and get gospel tracts and he would go put them in all the lockers of his buddies there. When Dennis was in high school, just a high school boy, had a baseball game on a Wednesday night. And his mom and daddy didn't go to church, but he said, Coach, he said, I can't play on Wednesday night. I got church. And he went to church and he honored that church commitment. And he handed those tracts out and he told people about Jesus. He said, what is that? That's boldness.
Right.
Brother, listen, you and I need some boldness about us. I mean, we need not to be ashamed to tell people about Jesus. You say, preacher, I don't think there's any hope for America. There's hope for if Christians will pray.
Right.
And there's hope for Christians if we'll get some boldness about us.
Right.
See, I'm not one of them fellas sitting around watching my clock waiting for Jesus to come.
No.
I'm looking for Him. I know He's coming. I'll be excited. Boy, listen, I'm glad. But my job right now is to work. To occupy. To be busy till He comes. My job's not to sit down and wait. Listen, if we just have some Christians with some boldness, if we'd have some Christians, some preachers who would preach righteousness and pray for mercy. I'm almost done. That's my last point. Listen, how many of you ever, in all your life, how many of you ever knew you was going to get a whipping, and you got one? How many of you knew you was going to get a whipping? How many of you tried to talk yourself out of it? About all of you, right? Some of you look at me like I'm nuts. I said a whipping. That's called a whipping. And before you got the whipping, you tried to talk yourself out of it and said, oh, I'll never do it again, Mommy. I'm sorry, Daddy. I'll never do it again. You never done that, did you? I know. But listen, I did. I was begging for mercy. I was trying to figure out how to get out of it. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But I'm going to tell you this, listen. America has not done herself real well of late. We've made a lot of bad decisions. Our country's not where it ought to be. We've gone a long way away from this book right here, from the Word of God. We've gone too far, but we haven't gone so far that what God couldn't still have mercy and bring us back. You see, my Bible says, with God, all things are possible. My Bible says, is anything too hard for the Lord? There's a little boy one day that his daddy had left for work that day, and the little boy, like all little boys do, went outside and played in the dirt. That's a good place for a boy to play. I'm always happy when I see a boy playing in the dirt. Amen? And the boy was out playing in the dirt and had dirt all over him, and he was trying to build a road there for his little Hot Wheel cars, Matchbox cars to go through, and there was a rock in the way that what he couldn't get out, and He had helped himself to every tool in his daddy's garage just about trying to get that rock out, and he had pulled and pried, had dirt all over him. His daddy come home. He said, "Son, what's the matter?" He said, "Daddy," he said, "I've tried everything." He said, "But I can't get that rock out of the way." And he said, "There's no way I can build that road without moving that rock." He said, "Have you tried everything?" He said, "Daddy," he said, "Look," he said, "I've worked all day." He said, "I've tried everything." He said, "I even borrowed some of your tools and still couldn't get it out." He said, "Have you tried everything?" He said, "Yep." He said, "There's nothing left you can try?" He said, "Nope." He said, "Have you tried asking your daddy to help you?" He said, "Nope." He said, "Won't you try that?" He said, "Daddy," he said, "can you help me move this rock?" And his daddy laid all of his stuff aside, and he went over and he got a hold of a shovel and he started digging, and together they moved that rock. And I'm going to tell you this. That's a simple illustration as I can give you, but I'm going to tell you this. We're in a mess tonight because for some reason we're too busy to ask God for help. I mean, we got these churches trying to figure out shortcuts to build churches, and I'm not interested in building a church. I'm interested in saving a country. I really am. I want to see these boys and girls that come to this church, these teenagers and young people and children. I want to see them have a country like I had to grow up in. And the only way we're going to do that is if we work and witness and not be ashamed. You say, "Preacher, we're in the last days," and I believe we are. But I don't know how many of you ever watched races or not. I can't tell you that I've ever watched the whole entire race. My favorite part's when somebody wrecks. I always watch that part. But I'm sure a lot of you have watched races. And I've watched enough to know that in a race, whether it be a car race, a drag race, or whether it be a running a race that you're a foot race, whatever, I know that there is a last lap. Am I right in that there is a final lap? And is there not in like NASCAR and stuff, isn't there like a flag that they wave to let their drivers know that they're in the final lap? What flag is that? Anybody know? What is it? The white flag. And that white flag means they're getting ready to race the final lap. And that means when you put it in coast and you just slow way down. Isn't that right? Uh-uh. That's not what you do. When they wave that white flag, that means you're running the final lap. I mean, that means this is it. I mean, there's no holding back. There's no more tomorrow. You say, "But preacher, we're in the last days." Well, if you really believe that, then why don't we look and see that flag, that white flag waving in the distant future, and realize that if we are running that final lap, then it's not time to coast. It's not time to hold back. I mean, it's time to grind every gear and put the pedal to the metal and get busy for God. Listen, that's the attitude that we ought to have, that we're running the final lap. We're not going to just sit around. We're going to get busy for God. Well, we need some young people who will pray. We need some families who will pray. Say, "Preacher, it's sissy to pray." Man, you don't know what sissy is. It's sissy to let some communist take over your country because you're afraid to pray. It's sissy to let a bunch of sissies take over your country because you're afraid to witness. Brother, listen. Hey, we need to get our tracts out. We need to get our boldness back. And we need to tell people about Jesus. We need to get over our shyness and tell people about Jesus. We need to get to praying again. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd love to preach longer to you. I wish somehow I could just reach down there and just say, "Look, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you not to give up on America. I'm trying to tell you to quit complaining and quit believing everything you hear and quit just listening to all the negativity and rejoice in the fact that this is a great country. And this country, there's hope for this country if we'll pray. There's hope for this country if we'll pray and if we'll witness and if we'll ask God for mercy. There's hope for America."